again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 239. This is the weekly podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. Thank you to our lead sponsor for 2016, Certified American Grown Flowers. The Certified American Grown program and label provide a guarantee for designers and consumers on the source of their flowers. Take pride in your flowers and buy with confidence. Ask for Certified American Grown Flowers. To learn more, visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org. More sponsor thanks goes to Syndicate Sales, an American manufacturer of vases and accessories for the professional florist. Look for the American flag icon to find Syndicate's USA-made products and to join the Syndicate Stars loyalty program at syndicatesales.com. Thanks, too, goes to Longfield Gardens, providing home gardeners with a high-quality choice of flower bulbs and perennials. Their online store offers plants for every region and every season, from tulips and daffodils to dahlias, caladium, and amaryllis. Visit them at lfgardens.com. On March 12th, the first of several field-to-vase dinners for 2016 took place inside a state-of-the-art greenhouse in Arcata, California. That's Humboldt County, located way, way up north in the Redwoods. The venue, Sun Valley Flower Farm, a leading grower of cut bulb and field flowers in the U.S. According to its website, Sun Valley chose this area as an ideal environment for growing bulb flowers. Due to its mild winters, cool summers, generous humidity, and coastally moderated sunlight, the fields surrounding the greenhouses also provide excellent growing conditions for spring, summer, and fall irises, and for summer flowers, including Crocosmia, Hypericum, and Monk's Hood. On March 12th, the celebration was all about American-grown tulips and other spring flowering bulbs, hundreds of thousands of them in all their colorful glory. The evening's festivities attracted 150 dinner guests. Yours truly was among them. We gathered at an uber-long farm table occupying the greenhouse's center aisle between the tulips. The menu was scrumptious, and the table was adorned with a stunning array of fresh seasonal tulips designed by today's guest, Faye Krause of Flora Organica Designs. Field-to-vase dinners take place on American flower farms and inside greenhouses of U.S. growers who participate in the Certified American Grown brand. Slow Flowers members are frequently invited to design the field-to-vase dinners' tablescapes, reflecting their aesthetic and affinity for locally grown flowers. In Arcata, there was no question that Faye was the first choice as designer. Faye invited Susie Haggerty of Haggerty Designs, a fellow Slow Flowers member in the Arcata area, to join her design team, along with Susan Kelly of Three Sisters Designs in Palo Alto, who offered her services. Since Susan attended the field-to-vase dinner in Detroit last October as one of the flower house designers, she knew what was in store for the huge installation, and she too is a slowflowers.com member and past guest of this podcast. The final volunteer was Faye's younger sister, Emma Zierer. The installation was magical, and you have to visit my website, deborahprinzing.com, to see the beautiful images shot by Amy Kumler that depict what Faye accomplished with her team. Before we get started with the interview, let me give you a little background on Faye Krause. Faye founded Flora Organica Designs in 2005, although her history with flowers extends back to before the time she was born. As the story goes, when her mother was pregnant with her, Faye's parents were starting their farm and deciding what they would plant. They decided that if the baby was a boy, it would be potatoes. And if the baby was a girl, it would be flowers. Well, flowers it was. Faye has cultivated a love of flowers her whole life, creating posies and wreaths from the time she could walk. The turning point for her came while traveling Europe and realizing that when she was away from flowers, part of her was missing. and thus Flora Organica Designs was created. When not designing, Faye enjoys spending time in the garden with her husband and their young child named Clara, and you will see photos of Clara, the next generation of flower farmer, on my show notes. Faye's work has been featured on such blogs as Style Me Pretty, Green Wedding Shoes, Green Bride Guide, and Muna Lucci. Flora Organica Designs is a floral studio dedicated to creating exquisite floral design for weddings and events. Each event is one of a kind, and Faye and her team work with clients to create florals unique and amazingly beautiful. Flora Organica Designs uses locally grown blooms whenever possible. Faye believes in knowing where the flowers she selects are grown and how they are grown. Many of the blooms with which she works are sourced directly from her parents' organic flower farm and nursery called Flora Organica in McKinleyville, California. She also relies on and works closely with several sources from across California and across the country to find the most exquisite blooms for her designs. Please enjoy our conversation and check out DeborahPrinzing.com to see photos, follow links, and gain more resources about Faye Krause and Flora Organica Designs, including links to her social places. Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast, and I am delighted today to introduce Faye Krause, and Faye is based in Arcata, California, Humboldt County. Hi, Faye.
Hi, Deborah.
Well, we saw each other a couple weeks ago when you were the featured floral designer for the first Field to Vase dinner of 2016 at Sun Valley Flower Farms in Arcata. That's like your neighborhood giant flower farm, right?
Kind of, yes.
But your business, Flora Organica Designs, has a long history with flower farming, I understand, through your family.
Yes, it does.
Can you talk a little bit about that and what led you from being the child of farmers to a floral designer?
Well, my parents have been farming since 1980. Well, they've been farming probably since about 1980. My mother even before that. My father, before he came to the U.S., he's from Germany. He did work in a flower shop in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And they both ended up in Orleans, which is a small town about 2 hours inland from Arcata, where I live, and they met on a farm there. They started a farm in 1984, the year I was born, and they grew flowers. They grew flowers exclusively for, up until probably about 2000-ish, and when they moved to the coast and started farming here was when they branched out, and they do a lot of nursery, and now they do vegetables as well as cut flowers and a big portion of nursery, both for flowers and veggie starts. And so growing up on the farm, I was always in the flowers. I was making arrangements as long as I can remember. Looking back at all the pictures, there's pictures of me when I was 2 years old showing my dad how to make a bouquet.
Oh, I love it.
I did my first wedding, I think, when I was 12 or 13. And it kind of started growing from there. I helped. My parents always did a few. I did some with them. I worked on the farm for several years. And then when I was 19, I went to Europe for a summer and traveled. I went to Amsterdam is where I started. I went to the flower market there in Alsmere. I went and I worked on a lavender farm in the south of France, harvesting wild lavender, which sounds romantic and wonderful. It was extremely hard work on the top of a mountain, and I'm used to the hard farm work.
Oh my gosh. But people think you were like dancing amongst the lavender wands and, you know, yes, in a little print dress or
definitely
something.
Definitely. It was not that at all. I had, for years, my hand was messed up from that, even though I was only 19 when I did it.
Oh my gosh. So was this like your own, I don't know, world tour? Like you decided to do the grand tour in Europe, but you did it through flowers?
Yeah, I did it. That was kind of woofing. We have a really strong organic farm community here and in the community I grew up in, where you get to know people really well. There's a lot of farmers. And so I was kind of hoping to find that internationally in Europe so I could get to know a community. And I think that's a great way to travel. It didn't really work out that way. I was in France 2003, the summer of the heat wave. So I ended up staying less the time than I planned. And that was kind of when I realized when I wasn't around flowers and working with flowers, I wasn't happy.
Wow. It's like you wanted to get away from that obligatory farm lifestyle as a kid, but as an adult, it's what felt right to you.
It is. That was my rebellion traveling Europe. I had actually gone with the intention of staying for about 6 months, possibly longer, maybe working in a flower shop in Germany where my whole family on my dad's side is. But I did end up coming back, and that was about when I started Flora Organica Designs. As it is started originally as an offshoot of my parents.
I was going to ask you that. So their farm is called Flora Organica, and they're based in Arcata, or?
They're in McKinleyville in Dallas Prairie, so about 15 miles from me.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
Up until last year, last summer, my studio was actually on their farm.
Got it.
And then this past summer, we built a shop on our property that we purchased 3 years ago. We have a 10-acre property that we're going to grow a little bit, but I don't plan on being a farmer.
I love it. So there is some connection on your website between your studio business and your parents' farm, I believe. I think I followed that thread. So we'll have to share that link with people.
Yes.
Do your parents sell to other florists, or do they have other channels that
they're... They do. They sell at the local farmer's market in Arcata on Saturdays. They sell to all the local nurseries. Their plants, they do lots of veggie starts. They sell to a lot of local restaurants, a lot of the local grocery stores, their produce, as well as flowers. We've had some of their food at the field-to-base dinner in the dinner.
I love it.
I think the fennel on the fish was theirs and a couple other things as well.
Oh my gosh, my mouth is watering just remembering that menu. Well, Faye, I don't know how we connected, although I think it's maybe because you're also a chapel designer, right?
Yeah, I think that was probably where it started.
And then you're a perfect fit for Slow Flowers because you are all about local, and your whole ethos as a designer is using the seasons in your wedding work, I'm sure.
Yes, to me, most of the time, it's not even something I think about, partially because I growing up on the farm, I've always kind of like, well, June, early July, that's lavender season. Dahlias are midsummer. Sunflowers, late summer. You don't use tulips in the fall. I've always been very in touch with the seasons. And so while I do definitely always focus on, you know, the local organic and then local and then beyond that California grown, and being California, that's very easy to get almost anything any time of year.
Right.
It's wonderful. It's just always been something I do, and I'll look at a wedding I did, or I'll look at an event and not even realize that everything is California grown, or 90% of it was local. It's just kind of, it's easy being here.
You know what? It's so true to hear you say that, because I kind of want to shake certain designers whose work I come across in California and say, of all people, you have no excuse for not using local flowers. I'm like, you're swimming in it in California, so why are you using imports? You know, that just makes me crazy when I see that. You're walking the talk.
Yeah, and there's more and more too. Like I get a lot of my roses from Neve Brothers, and they're the closest rose grower to me. They're what, 4.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all the stock and Lysianthus and all that. I mean, California is amazing. Food-wise, fruit-wise, flower-wise.
Well, so when you came back from Europe and you started designing and kind of under the umbrella of your parents' farm, when did Flora Organica Designs kind of step out as, you know, a established studio business, and how did you build your business?
So I came back from Europe summer, I think, 2003 or end of 2003. 2004, I think, was when I decided, okay, I was going with names, and I'd already been using kind of their name. And so in 2004, that's when I started Flora Organica Designs. I did many things in the process. I've been a painter as well. I did for years, several, you know, art shows a year. I was pastels was my medium, mostly flowers and landscapes.
Oh, wow.
Several of the lavender farm in the south of France. It was great media for that. And I just slowly built it over the years, mostly as word of mouth. I do local bridal fair. But really, most of it's been word of mouth.
So someone will attend a wedding with flowers that you've designed, and then that sort of becomes a referral.
Yeah.
From one bride to the next.
The wedding I did last week, and one of the bridesmaids, I was teasing her because I think she might have walked down the aisle the most times carrying one of my bouquets. This was her fourth time. She's been a bridesmaid three times and a bride, all with my flowers.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, like she could be your poster child for local beauty and for Flora Organica Designs. That's funny. But it means, in a way, you're in a very sort of tight-knit community, too. Once you have a connection with one client, they want to endorse and advocate for you as a resource for their friends.
It is. We have a very small, I mean, the population of the entire Humboldt County, I think, is under 100,000 people, and that's an area that's, I forget the square mileage, but it's the size of some states.
I thought you were going to say, it's larger than France. Probably.
Well, it's larger than several European countries, we'll say.
So, given that, is it hard to sustain a studio business with, you know, kind of limits on population?
It is to some extent. We're never going to have, you know, the huge pool to draw from that someone who's closer to a big city, say in Napa or closer to Seattle or Portland. We don't really have that. But we do get plenty of destination weddings. We're getting more of them.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's brilliant.
Of them. They're usually smaller, which is fine. They don't involve meetings. They're a nice little phone call, a few emails, and they're super fun and different. And then I also have a portion of my business, which is online through Etsy. And that has really, that when I started that is what it allowed me to go full-time floral design for myself.
Oh, well, tell me how that works. That's so interesting.
That.
So you're, because I didn't know you could do, you know, I don't know, fresh cut products on Etsy.
I don't do fresh. It is all dried.
Oh, okay.
And a huge portion of it is lavender. And that is all lavender that I source from my parents' farm. I buy their whole crop every year. And I ship it all over the country, the world a little bit. It's a little fragile for going to France, although I have shipped to Norway and Greece, and it's made their looking great.
Wow.
But when I first started on Etsy in 2000 and I think 10 or 11 was the first year, and I just put a few things. I've always dabbled in making stuff and selling it. That's always been what I've done. And so I painted furniture for a while, and I made candles, and that was where I started listing on Etsy. And then I did, I had some bulk lavender on there because my parents have a big lavender crop.
Right, and people can't get it if they don't live near a lavender farm.
And it started selling, and then people wanted a bouquet, and I said, okay. And then they want boutonnieres and corsages, and so I said, okay. And then Crespidia was another thing that I started on there. And now there's a ton of Crespidia, but that is something my parents also grew. I begged them to grow for me. And I sold a ton of boutonnieres with that. It ships so well. So Crespidia and lavender were my main things, and being able to have local and organic. Wonderful. And shipping it out of here was great too, to bring in more, since we have such a small area.
Yeah,
it is nice to be able to export a product. We do have a whole Humboldt Made movement, which is selling local products elsewhere.
I think it's wonderful. And you've landed on something that is, not perishable because it's mostly dried, or it's in the process of drying when you make the arrangement. And it's probably very lightweight. So your shipping costs are so much different than, I don't know, like an FDD company shipping a heavy vase and having to have all this packaging, and like you've kept it really lean and mean.
Yeah, it
with
doesn't
what
have
doing.
To ship overnight. It can ship normal post, FedEx, and it arrives looking great. You don't have the water source. I do, whenever I can, use recycled packaging. Most of my packaging materials, recycling my boxes, I buy new because they're sturdier.
Yeah.
But that added a huge portion of my business. I scaled it back in the last couple of years having my daughter. It's made it a little bit more difficult to get as much done.
And yes, and we'll have, I'm looking at a beautiful photo of you and your daughter Clara right now from the Field to Vase dinner. So can I share that on my show notes so people
yes,
can see how
cute
the next generation flower farmer coming along, right?
Last night we were in my shop and she told me, Clara make a head wreath too.
Oh, and she's how old?
Two. She has turned
oh my
February.
Goodness. You're like, sure, honey, here's the clippers. They're not dangerous.
It lasted about 2 minutes and then we went and did yoga on the picnic table.
Well, you know, back to this thing of having the Etsy shop. And are you on Etsy as Flora Organica Designs?
I'm on there as Faye Marie.
Okay, good. We'll put a link for people to see your work. It's in a way, this whole idea of creating a sustainable business that fits your values. It does have limitations depending on your geography. And you've sort of broken down those barriers by saying, I can create revenue for my business by outsourcing, you know, by finding customers outside of my market, my physical market. I love that idea.
And it also extends my season a lot because, you know, I do have all year round weddings, but of course the wedding season is predominantly June through October. So having the Etsy stuff has that added winter income.
Oh, so smart.
Was excellent.
Oh, that's exciting. So is it about 50-50 now, or is it a little bit less of the store because of Clara's presence in your
Clara
life?
Clara is definitely smaller. Before she was born, the couple years before, it did end up being about 50-50. Now it's probably about only 20% of it.
Mm-hmm. But you can scale up in the future if you decide to.
Yeah.
I think what differentiates you doing online sales is you have a story to tell, and you know, having this connection with growing up on a flower farm, being a florist, it people want to buy from somebody who, I don't know, who enriches their lives just knowing their story. And just I think that, not that you really push it, but you probably have enough of a narrative that compels people to say, well, I could buy lavender from lots of different places, but I like this woman, I like her business, I feel good buying from her.
It's nice to know where your flowers are coming from as much as your food. And that's something that we definitely try in many parts of our life. And so to be able to share that is great.
Do you find that most weddings that are coming to you have that kind of agenda as well with the whole Humboldt Maid thing? I'm sure I witnessed this at the Field to Vase dinner with the local, all the local food and the local wine and the local beer and the spirits. I mean, everything was kind of homegrown in with intention at that event. So do weddings have that? Do you find that weddings come to you with that same kind of request? Like, we want our flowers to be local.
Many of them definitely do. The ones that it's not, you know, the first on their priority list, they're always excited when I'm like, well, your wedding is in August, your colors are blush. Well, then of course we're going to use Café au Lait dahlias, and they're grown, you know, within 10 miles of your wedding site. And I source them from my parents' farm, and that they get really excited about that.
That's neat.
Even if it wasn't necessarily something that they were thinking of in the first place.
Well, that's because you're educating people, and you're again telling that story. Once they come to you for your aesthetic, perhaps, and your style, and then this is like a bonus to know the rest of the story.
Definitely.
Let's talk about your aesthetic and style. How would you describe your design style? I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, the seasons always have played a huge portion in my design style. I always look at things in terms of color, shape, and when I'm looking, you know, if I go anywhere and I see flowers, I'm like, oh, that would be really great with this. I see things in how I feel like they should be put together. I don't think I necessarily have one particular style, but going with the season has always been huge. And when you do that, flowers kind of naturally go together instead of when you're trying to put sunflowers in an arrangement in January.
Well, I'm looking at the photo that was on your beautiful postcard that you shared with guests of the dinner, and I see exactly what you're saying, because you've got this palette of kind of buttery yellows and pale apricots, and they just exude spring. You know, I'm seeing poppies and ranunculus and What else is in here? I'm seeing there's some little
azaleas and rhododendrons from my yard. A pear tree. Let's see, poppies, ranunculus, or maybe some.
What's that white flower in the front?
That is a azalea, a rhododendron.
Wow. I love it. Most florists wouldn't even use azalea. So that's just exciting to see you adding a garden landscape kind of ornamental shrub into this arrangement.
The property that we moved to 3 years ago has about 200 or more rhodies and azaleas. I've never really used them before. I don't use them for weekly work. I don't send them out in arrangements. But if I do like a wedding work, I'll definitely use them because they don't hold very long.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. We just moved away from a property that had a lot of old rhodies and azaleas, and I found that rhododendron buds are fantastic in floral design. You can get a few extra days out of them, and they have this dark, almost a darker palette that before they open.
Yeah.
They're just really fun.
And the azalea flowers, they're fragrant and gorgeous. I love using those. Ants are attracted to them, though. That's the one issue.
How cool. So this property you bought is where you're built your own studio, right?
Yes.
And how did that come about?
Well, we lived in the same neighborhood before. We love the neighborhood we're in. We'd always wanted a little bit more space, you know, to raise kids or our one kid and to grow some more of the things I use. I don't ever plan on being a full-on farmer, but we do have close to 100 fruit trees. My husband, I think, planted 20 new ones this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're going to have to do something with all of our fruit. And I do want to plant a lot of the shrubs and the greenery and all that stuff that I use in my designs that really take it from being, you know, if you have an arrangement with just nice flowers to adding that those are the things that just make it extra special and make it my design. We really lucked out when we found this place. It's 10 acres, really right in town, but out in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And there was no outbuildings, no shop, just a carport. And so we built both a shop / barn for storage of our stuff as well as my shop. And I have a walk-in cooler and a dishwasher, which was really exciting for all my vases, and an office space for meeting with clients that looks out over the field with several deer, which we need to get rid of.
But still, how idyllic.
And yes.
I can't remember your husband's first name.
Jordan.
Jordan. So he's becoming like the gentleman orchardist running running that part of the business.
Yes.
That's so cool. And I think you're right. Having that independent freestanding studio space with all that work area, and maybe you can teach workshops in the future.
I am planning on it. I taught a centerpiece class at Thanksgiving, a couple wreath classes at Christmas time. I have a succulent wreath class that I'm planning on coming up here soon. I need to set a date and some other ones as well.
That's so great. Yeah. I mean, having the physical space makes so many possibilities at your fingertips now.
Yes, it does. And it's 87 steps from my front door.
Right. Well, let's talk about your involvement with the Field to Vase dinner, because one of the things that I'm excited about being involved with that dinner series is that there's sort of an unspoken rule that we only want slowflowers.com members or florists to be invited to participate. So it was really great that you're like a perfect match for this event, and you're just simply as close as possible because Sun Valley's also in Arcata. How did that come about? Our friend Kathleen Williford invited you to do this,
yes,
right?
Yes, she sent me a Facebook message and said, hey, do you want to be involved in this? And I said, I would love to. And that was that.
Well, it's obviously a labor of love because you did donate your design services.
Yes, it was a lot. We spent a lot of time on it.
How did you go about executing? I mean, I should just back up and describe that a lot of the Field to Vase dinners are held in open fields, but it was March 12th, and it was in a chilly part of California, or Humboldt County, and inside a greenhouse, an enormous greenhouse at Sun Valley. So you knew from the beginning that you'd be indoors, and that kind of changed your design decisions?
Yes. Well, it allowed for a little bit more in the way of design, just because we were going to be indoors. And here, even in July or August, you don't really want to eat dinner outdoors. It gets cold at 7 o'clock at night. Fog rolls in.
Well, the table, obviously there was a big aisle between the tulip bays where tulips are grown in crates. So you had this place that was wide enough to have, I don't know how many tables there were, but there were enough to seat 150 people.
19 tables at, you know, we had a total of like 150, well, it's 150 feet long, just about the table.
Wow.
So 75 people on each side.
Wow.
And I wanted to use all product that was grown here locally. Sun Valley does have other farms in California, so we could have brought that product in. They did want to use all their product. So I could have brought that product in, but I felt that kind of defeated the purpose of the whole field to vase. And so being that we were in the tulip house, being that it was March, tulips were the main focus.
It was so impactful what you did, Faye, because this dinner has certain challenges, I think, for a designer, and that is that it's the meal is served family style. So there has to be space for these platters of food to plunk down, you know, right where you'd want your arrangement to be. So you did a really great job of kind of creating this visual garland of, you know, by vase of tulips, but there were breaks for people to put down food for the service, and it just worked out really well.
Yeah, I think we had about 3,000 tulips, close to that, on the tables. Well, no, actually ended up being less because we changed vases last minute. But I think overall I had about 4,000 tulips that we used between the tables, the ceiling install, and all the other arrangements.
Well, I don't know how you came up with the echo effect of the tulips overhead and the tulips on the table, but can you describe that? It's just so beautiful.
Well, being that it was in a greenhouse, that gave us a ton of supports to work from. And knowing that I had a limited variety of flowers to work with, tulips, irises, and lilies are the basic things that Sun Valley has this time of year that grows, you know, on their farm here in Arcata. And I personally, aesthetically, don't like to mix them that much. So I knew that the centerpieces were going to be fairly simple. And the way that tulips look best, a lot of them. So that was I knew that right away, that centerpieces were going to be tulips.
And those were like in a round, low round vase, just clear glass.
Yeah.
And you just color blocked them like crazy with kind of more of a warm palette or a cool palette is sort of how my eye saw it.
Yeah, kind of yellows, reds, and oranges, and then the pinks, and then we separated, you know, we would blend it with some peach here and there. We didn't have that much peach, so that was kind of how we made them go together. And then overhead, we had all these supports in the greenhouse, and then I knew that along the fence line as windbreak, there are some curly willow at Sun Valley. So I went out there, and I showed them where it was, and told them what it was, and had them harvest it for me. So we could hang it to create a floral chandelier. And the tulips, if you leave them on the bulb, which they were for the ceiling, will hold a long time. So we were able to do that install Friday afternoon. And it ended up working out really well. The curly willow ended up looking like the roots from the tulip bulbs, and it all just went together really well.
So you made, because you worked with a couple other designers who came in and volunteered. Do you want to mention who they were? And we'll obviously give them links to their sites as well when we do the show notes.
Yes, I had a local friend of mine and fellow florist, Susie Haggerty of Haggerty Design Studios, who is also a Slow Flower member.
Yep.
And she's a few miles down the road from me. I've been friends with her for years. I helped do her wedding when her and her husband got married. And then my other friend, Susan from Three Sisters Floral in Palo Alto came up. I met her via the Chapel Designers. She came up and helped me for a few days, and it was wonderful just having them there. And then I had my sister who helped a lot.
Oh yeah. Your sister was, she helps you throughout the course of the year, it sounds
like. Yeah, she's my main assistant in childcare.
What's her name?
Emma,
yeah. No, that was really fun to have them all there. And I think that when I was talking with Susan Kelly from Three Sisters, she made some comment about how you had these X number of chandelier sections that you had to build before you elevated or suspended the willow, and then you got up and attached the tulips to the willow? Is that how you did it?
Yeah, we went back and forth how we were going to do it first and hang them and then hang the chandelier or bring a bunch of curly willow. But first we made these big bundles. We ended up with 9 of them. And we didn't know how that was going to work until we showed up there and saw the willow. I didn't know what I was getting. And I had them go pick more because we needed more. And we zip tied it together in long, about 10, 12 foot bundles, and then suspended that with twine. And then each of the tulips, we had a little wire, kind of like a Christmas tree ornament would hang, wrapped around the base of the bulb, and then just kind of looped over some of the curly willow. And we suspended that while they were hanging.
That's wonderful. And it looks so fresh and so magical. And the bulbs were left on the tulips. So you did have that illusion of curly willow and then the bulb roots kind of adding all that texture.
Yes.
And that's great.
We also, the iris wall was another one of those things that we kind of came, last minute, it was like, I think Thursday night, I was awake in the middle of the night thinking about how everything was going to go together. I'm like, oh, that would be the perfect thing to do with all these irises. I had 500 irises blooming opened that I needed to use. And what the backdrop for it was the lily wire, the wire that Sun Valley uses to support the lilies as they grow so they don't fall over. So there's
like a grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we did they're 4 feet wide, I believe. So we did 2 sections of that. And then we just hung it from the supports and wove it with curly willow and then added in 500 stems of irises.
Hey, well, that was so impactful. I know that's been out on social media, so people may have already seen it, but we'll share photos. What I thought was so charming is it almost became like the photo backdrop that you would see at like a Hollywood film opening or something. People wanted to get their photos in front of this iris wall. It was just perfectly placed and created kind of a stage effect almost for the festivities.
Yeah, that was kind of the intention, and it worked out really well.
I really like what you said, though, Faye, about trying to use these spring flowers in singular installations, just irises with irises, tulips with tulips. It just, you know, it visually, it's got to be more impactful when your eye can just see the mass of one color or one type of flower.
Yeah, and then in tulips, you never know what they're going to do. So I prefer to use tulips on their own because tulips will go, they do their own thing, and irises are stiff and they don't necessarily go with tulips. And then the lilies, we mixed things with the lilies when we did the larger arch type install over the entries to the doors and places like that.
That's another thing that I was studying before I called you. So you really built these sort of grand entrances in the doorways of the greenhouses, again, with a base of curly willow and then building with the whole variety of flowers that Sun Valley was able to harvest for you, right?
And then we had a few things that were from wildcrafted from the area, the bear grass, some 2 different types of ferns, and some sweet hawk, and then what was the other one we had in there? Scotch broom. So that's kind of our greenery that we had.
It made it more a woodland effect. It had a little bit more, just a fantasy feeling to walk through that kind of casual tangle of blooms and foliage. I loved it.
Yeah, that came out really well.
And when I said tangle, Faye, that was a high compliment. I wasn't trying to say it was
messy. No, I'm a big fan of tangles. Flowers need, I don't like placing them perfectly. They need to do what they want to do.
That's great. Well, it's beautiful, and I'm really eager to share the photos that your friend Amy was the photographer.
Amy Kumler, yes. I've worked with her several times over the past 10 years or so.
Well, it just sort of shows that collaboration because I get the impression that a lot of the vendors who were part of this dinner were your recommendation or your connections because of people who work in the local wedding industry in Humboldt County.
Definitely. And yeah, both the caterers, Tamara from Cafe Brio, I do the flowers for them every week. Foley Deuce, I've worked with Chris, both of them for many, many years in the catering world. Both of my favorite restaurants. My parents supply veggies to both of them. Yeah, it's just a really tight-knit, small food community and flower community here.
Yeah, it's full circle. Your parents did attend the dinner, and I could just see the expressions on their faces. They're so proud of what you've accomplished, and it must have been really special for them to just sit and enjoy their own food and their daughter's work and not have to be behind the scenes, but they were really part of, they were special guests at the dinner.
Yeah, so they got to chase Clara.
Well, she was a trooper. She hung in there for a long time.
We were on our way home that night. We buckled her in the car and she said, fun party.
I have to tell the Field of Ace people that maybe that can be an endorsement on like an ad campaign. Claire Krause too. Fun party.
Yes, this should be.
That's great. Well, anything else that you want to talk about? I'm sure you've got a lot of stuff on the horizon for the upcoming wedding season. And I want people to be able to follow you. So we'll list all links to all your social places. I know you have friends all over the place who already know you, but hopefully I can introduce a few new people to Flora Organica Designs through this interview.
That would be wonderful. So it's been really great being part of the Chapel Designers, being part of communities like this, the Slow Flowers. It has opened, it's opened up my little wall. We call it the Redwood Curtain here. And we get kind of stuck in here. There's, you know, a lot of fog and a lot of big trees, and we're kind of isolated up here. So having had the experience when I joined the Chapel Designers to go to New York, and I met Susan, who then came up and helped me, and I've met a few other people that have come up, and having this with the social media and having the network of other people has really made designing a whole new, it's made it a whole new experience.
Well, I was just with Holly Chapel in DC at the end of February, and she made that proclamation that social media was a game changer for her own business. And that was, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And so to watch what's happened, the connections that are being made for all of us is really couldn't have been predicted. It's just been really wonderful. I would never have met you if it hadn't been for these social media connections. So internet can suck up our lives, but it also can enrich our lives.
It's well worth it, even though it does take a lot of time and dedication.
Well, I'm excited that you were willing to jump on the phone and or on Skype and do this interview, because we didn't have a chance to do it when we were at the Arcata event. And I know you had just worked steady for days, so it probably wouldn't have been good timing. But this is perfect, because we can get people excited about your work, see this amazing installation that was sort of over the top. And I wish you a great wedding season and gardening season, because I know you're going to be doing a lot of planting in those new fields of yours.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for the interview. It was wonderful talking with you.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for joining today's podcast. The Slow Flowers podcast has been downloaded more than 89,000 times by listeners like you. Thank you to each one of you for downloading, listening, commenting, and sharing. It means so much. Until next week, you're invited to join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging onto iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holdgertz. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.